This afternoon, I want to call our attention to really just to one phrase that is found in the book of Titus. It's found in the 10th verse of that chapter. And I want to center the entire message around that phrase. It speaks there about adorning the doctrine of God. And when I think about my dear brother David, I would say this, and with just full assurance in my heart, that I know of no one that I have ever met in this life who more fulfills that phrase in the Scripture, that he adorned the doctrine of God. And in that chapter, there are a number of things that come up in that chapter that relate to us what it actually means to adorn the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God is the doctrine that comes from God, and it's about God. Now, so many times people have their own thoughts about God. They have their own imaginations about God. And their understanding of who God is not a real understanding. It's not a true understanding because it doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from His Word. But the doctrine of God, our Savior, it says in that verse, is a doctrine that comes from God, and it's the truth about God. And when I think about David, one of the things that he meant in my life is that he loved Bible doctrine. He loved to read Bible doctrine. He loved to talk about Bible doctrine. He and I, back in the early days when I had come to First Baptist in Bible Battery, and we got to know one another, we spent many hours together. And David, as he always would do, and anybody that knew him knew that this was what he did, he would direct the conversation. You know, he might talk about football for just a minute, but he wanted to direct the conversation to those important eternal issues. And so he wouldn't let me talk about Alabama football for very long. And, you know, I look back at that time that I spent with David, and he was a dear brother. He was a friend like no other friend that I've ever had. And we spent many an hour, and I want to tell you it was some of the most precious hours that I've spent in this life were spent sitting with him. Might be in the living room of my home or his home, or might be somewhere where we were grabbing a bite of lunch together. But we talked about the things of God together. We talked about the doctrines of God together. And he loved those doctrines, and he taught those doctrines. His life in many ways was all about the truth of God's Word and the doctrines in God's Word, as you've already heard from Philip and Elena. We received a tribute this week to Brother David, and it comes from Bill Turner and his wife Pat over in England. I wanted to just read what he said about Brother David. He said, "I first met David in the lunch line up at the Shepherd's Conference in Los Angeles. He said, over the years, I found him to be a wonderful, humble servant of the Lord with a real pastor's heart and love for the Word of God. He had such a burden to teach the deep truths of the Word of God and bring others into spiritual maturity. A warm, generous spirit and loving heart for all, and a deep love for his family. May his promotion to glory and life and example spur us on to greater dedication to the gospel." Brother David loved the precious doctrines that were in God's Word. The doctrines of grace were so dear and precious to his heart. The total inability of man spiritually. The sovereign and irresistible grace of God in election and salvation. The perseverance of all true believers. He loved all the great doctrinal truths of God's Word, the substitutionary atonement of Christ, the propitiation of God's wrath through the cross, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He loved all of those great doctrines. He loved the great doctrine and teachings in the Bible about God's attributes, God's holiness, His righteousness and justice and wrath, His grace and mercy and love, His power and presence and infinite knowledge and wisdom. And Brother David understood that the doctrine of God was personified in the person of Jesus Christ. That if you want to know what God is like, you look in God's Word to Jesus. And it says in the book of Hebrews that He is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. And so He loved those doctrines about the Lord Jesus, His virgin birth, His sinless life, His substitutionary and atoning sacrifice at Calvary, His bodily resurrection, and His visible physical return to earth someday. Brother David loved all of these doctrines, and he taught them and he preached them with precision. He talked about them in personal conversations with great precision. And as I've said, some of the most precious moments I ever spent in this life, I spent with Brother David talking about doctrinal issues. But there's one thing that Brother David understood about Bible doctrine that is vitally and eternally and spiritually important, and that's this. It's not enough just to know and understand Bible doctrine. He knew that that Bible doctrine had to be applied to the hearts and lives of men by the Holy Spirit of God in order for it to be effective in salvation. It's not enough just to know the great doctrines of the Bible. It's not enough to know the categories of doctrine and to know the passages that you turn to find those doctrines. Bible doctrine cannot just be something that's academic in a person's life. It must be applied to full measure by God's Holy Spirit in a person's life. And ultimately, what it means to adorn the doctrine of God is that the gospel impacts your life in such a way that it transforms you, and Christ's presence in your life transforms you. And He takes up residence in your life so that it affects who you are and what you say and how you say it and what you do. And it's a situation where the beauty of the Lord becomes a part of your person and a part of your life. There's a prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. And at the very end of that prayer, the end of that psalm, Moses prayed this. He said, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And I believe that beauty is what characterized the life of our dear brother. But now what I want to talk about in the remaining time of this message, I want to ask a question. And I want to answer it from God's Word, and especially from the context that we find here in Titus chapter 2. And it's specifically this question: how do we adorn the doctrine of God? In the context in this chapter, there are some things that are given that teach us, four major ways, I think, that are given in this chapter that teach us how we can and how we should adorn the doctrine of God. First of all, we adorn the doctrine of God in our lives by seeking the will of God. In verse 9 of that chapter, Paul told Timothy to exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters and to be well-pleasing in all things. And certainly we, as God's children, count ourselves as His servants and as His bondservants. And if that great truth applies to the relationship between a bondservant and an earthly master, how much more should it apply in our relationship with our heavenly master? Paul said this in the Scripture. He said, "Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." He said that even in the matter of living and dying, it was the Lord's will that mattered to him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. He said, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." And so Paul is expressing there that that the will of God was what was important to him, even in the matter of living and dying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said this, "We are confident, yes, and well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him." Now, the Apostle Paul, as we said, considered himself a bondservant to the Lord, and he desired the Lord's will in all things. And that's how he saw his life, as one who should seek the Lord's will and not his own. And I remember many occasions sitting with Brother David and talking with him. And some of you will recognize this phraseology that I'm about to give you. He would say things like this on many occasions when it had to do with the will of God. He would phrase it like this. He said, "Well, let's just wait and see what the Lord's will is in this matter." Do y'all recognize that? He would say, we need to see what the Lord is going to do. And whatever the Lord is going to do, we'll just be part of it. I can't tell you how many times he calmed my nerves and reassured me with that statement. And even when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, he told me on several occasions after that time, he said, "If it's the Lord's will that I go through this, then this is just what I want to do to glorify him." I think that's the heart's attitude, should be the heart's attitude of all of us. We're not in this life to seek our own will. We're not here. It's not about us, but it's about the Lord in his will. And so first of all, we adorn the doctrine of God by seeking the will of God. Secondly, I see in this chapter that we can adorn the will of God responding to the grace of God. It says here in this chapter, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And when a person is truly gripped, when their life is gripped by the grace of God, when they come to understand that they are an undeserving sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, and that instead of hell they have been given Christ and an eternity with him in his presence, oh, it makes a difference. A person who has been gripped with that reality is never the same again. And they spend the rest of their lives responding to that glorious grace. They want to deny ungodliness in their life. They want to deny worldly lust. They want to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, manifesting the character of God, wanting to be holy for God is holy, and wanting to live out the fact that they are partakers of the divine nature. Brother David had that kind of graciousness that God had given him in his life. The kindness of Christ, the gentleness, the love of Christ in his life. One of my favorite stories to tell about my relationship with Brother David is that after we got to know one another, his mother, Ms. Murdy, of course, was the secretary of the church there at First Baptist Church. And so eventually, as he would come to see his mother, he and I would get together. And one day he came at about lunchtime, and we decided to go grab a bite of lunch together. And eventually I began inviting him across the street to the parsonage to have lunch with me. And Linda would usually have something prepared for us there. And I like to eat egg sandwiches. I mean, I'll just confess this openly to you. I like for lunch to have an egg sandwich. And so a lot of days, Linda, I would ask her to. Now, she didn't just fix egg sandwiches all the time. She would want me to make sure I said that. But she, I would ask her to fix an egg sandwich. And so the first day that I brought David home, that's what I was going to have. And so Linda asked him, she said, would you like to have an egg sandwich? And he said, yes. And so we began, and this just went on for, many, many weeks and months and even years. I think several years this went on. And one day, Linda was not at home. We walked across the street, and she wasn't there. And so I said, "Well, David," I said, "let me whip us up an egg sandwich." And he said, "Paul," in his own inimitable way, he said, He said, "Paul," he said, "there's something I need to tell you." He said, "I can't stand egg sandwiches." And I said, "Well, David, you've only eaten 200 of them here." But you know what? We laugh at that. But it showed me something. The kindness, the gentleness, that he would not want to say something about that. I guess we all have our limits, but he didn't want to say anything about that. And just out of the compassion and kindness for his friends. And so we adorn the doctrine of God by responding to the grace of God and wanting to exhibit that grace to the world. Thirdly, we can adorn the doctrine of God, and it comes out in this chapter, by loving the people of God. At the end of verse 13, it speaks about our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works." What a beautiful verse that is about the intention of God in salvation, that he might redeem and purify for himself his own special people. And to a child of God who is adorning the doctrine of God, the church, the special people of God, will be precious to them. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it speaks of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it speaks of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it speaks of the Son of God. Paul writes this, and he says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And the doctrine of God our Savior, as revealed in his word, leaves no doubt that his great love for his people, when he chose them in eternity past and redeemed them with his blood in the fullness of time, and who he calls to himself one at a time in this present age, that the church, his special people, are so very dear to him. Again, Brother David, in my conversations with him, sometimes by telephone, sometimes in person, he, as much as anyone I ever have talked with, had a passion and had a concern and had a love for the church of God and for the church that God had given him to pastor. And he would say things like this to me over and over again. He would say, "You know, what we need to do in the church is just pursue the things that God has given the church to do. And if we'll just pursue those things, then God, it will be up to him as to whether he will bless it or not. But we need to be busy pursuing those things that God has given us to do." And I want to tell you, as I would talk with David about those things, it would light a fire in my own heart about the church that God had given me to pastor and how we needed to pursue the Lord and pursue what he intended for a local church. We adorn the doctrine of God by seeking the will of God. We adorn the doctrine of God by responding to the grace of God. We adorn the doctrine of God by loving the people of God. And finally, we see in this chapter that we can adorn the doctrine of God by longing for the presence of God. In verse 13 of this chapter, it says this: "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And a person whose life adorns the doctrine of God will not see this world as their home. They will see themselves as pilgrims and strangers, sojourners here for a brief span of time. And they will live longing for the presence of God. And yes, we do live in the presence of God now, but obviously not in the fullest sense. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Brother David lived longing for the presence of his God. And this is not just something that was true in recent days. This was something that was true about his life going way back. For a long time, he had longed to see his Savior. And last Thursday, he spent his final long day on this earth. And he avoided another long night and slipped away to be with Jesus. Something I don't think many people know about Brother David is that he wrote lyrics to hymns. And he was very good at it. I'd like you to listen to the lyrics of one of his hymns. This was written to the tune of "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read the verse that David wrote here. And this speaks so much to his longing to see a Savior. "Jesus, Lord and Sovereign Savior, work Thy holy will in me. In Thy awesome mighty power, bring Thy mercy, grace so free. See the cross, the Lamb of blood, He the final offering paid. Hallelujah, sons of God, His eternal victory made. Peace and pardon now are standing in the sight of holy God. Hearts and souls are now rejoicing, resting in the Savior's blood. Satan's lies we will not fear, guarded by the Spirit's sword, fighting every evil battle in the power of the Word. Looking upward, moving onward, taking up the cross each day, every heart is straining Godward, the well done to hear Him say. Store your treasures up in heaven. Let your hearts be found there too. Life is but a narrow season. Soon our days will all be through." The Lord has blessed so many of us in this room today with the opportunity to know Brother David and to spend time with him. And it ought to elicit from our hearts praise to God, because it's a gift from God. When someone like Brother David is given into your life, it's something to praise God for and to worship Him for, because He is the one who gave us our dear brother. You know, when I would spend time with Brother David, it always seemed too short, even if it was several hours. It would seem like time had just gotten away, and I would always leave saying, "I wish I had more time for that." And in this life, there's just so little time, it seems, for those kinds of things. There's a beautiful verse that has meant a lot to me in the last week. It's found in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10 in the Old Testament. And it's a verse which talks about the rest of God's people during the millennial kingdom. And it says this, it says, "In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." And it's a beautiful picture of the peace and the rest and the contentment that we'll have in the presence of the Lord someday. When I get to that time, obviously the first person we'll want to see is the Lord Jesus, and we'll want to spend time with Him, and we'll want to worship Him. But at some point, perhaps during that millennial kingdom, I'm going to call up David. I don't know if we'll have cell phones then. I don't think it would be heaven if we had cell phones. But I want to call up David, and I want to say, "David, would you just come sit with me under my vine and my fig tree? And let's rejoice in the great salvation that our great God has provided for us. There's a man by the name of H.B. Charles, and he wrote an article about how preachers become men of God. And at the conclusion of that article, he speaks about the man of God who has given his life, he's given his whole life to the Word of God. And he's dedicated his life wholeheartedly to the truth of God. And this writer speaks of when that man has come to the end of his life, and his life is over, and he says this. He says, "Bear him away gently, and blow a muted trumpet, and lay him down softly. Place a two-edged sword in his coffin, and raise the tomb triumphant. For he was a brave soldier of the Word, and ere he died, he had become a man of God." And that's what remains for us this afternoon. To bear away gently and to lay down softly this man of God who spoke to us the Word of God and who adorned for us the doctrine of God. I want us to bow our heads in just a moment of prayer. Lord, we do praise you and worship you for your servant, our dear brother. Lord, the gift, the light that you gave us through him. Lord, we ask now for your comfort for this sweet family, for Kathy and Elaine and Philip and all the family. We ask for comfort for his church and comfort for these dear friends that have gathered here today. We thank you and praise you that you'll give us your comfort by your Spirit. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.